Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Ken in Waterbury.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sound like a gangster.
Say, that's gross.
Shoot you too.
Yep, that's me.
Good.
Okay, yeah, when we were teenagers back home in upstate New York, lived in a pretty good neighborhood, and all the kids there had wrist rockets. I don't know if you guys know what those are.
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
I just found mine.
Yeah. Oh, really? You had one?
I was cleaning out the garage because the Stefano brothers are coming by. So
are you lucky?
I'm going through all my stuff. I'm like, my wrist rocket!
I wanted one so bad.
Oh, they're so accurate. Yeah. They're so accurate. But our buddy Jack Dollinger had a great idea on our basketball court one day, and hooked one to his foot to see how far he chewed a crab apple and laid on his
This is how experiments happen. Yes.
This is how things are invented.
Exactly, right. And really great videos,
it's like
too.
A space launch.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
and it flew off his foot and cracked him square in the face.
So he proved conclusively it would
not
work.
I have to visualize this. How does he hook
the... one eye stares straight up at the sky.
That must have hurt so much.
That's a permanent damage.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. His eyes, there was no white left in his eyes.
No.
It turned immediately red, and he had a black circle around it.
Yeah,
around
that's steps. Cartoon stuff.
They called it Shiner.
That's what you get your nickname.
That's
Shiner.
Like punched in the face by Mike Tyson. That's what that kind of damage is.
Yeah. Now, run me through this. I want to visualize the wrist rocket on his foot.
Wrist rocket.
Okay, we were all sitting there basically shooting crab apples at each other from across the basketball court from two different sides.
Because that's what guys do. Yeah.
And it was in our park, so you had all kinds of cover. We had, like, monkey bars and swing sets and stuff that I'd be
park
outside.
Benches. Right. Yeah.
And, just doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing. And then one guy said, hey, look how far I can shoot mine, blah, 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 blah. And then Jack's like, yeah, watch this. And he lays down on the basketball court on his back, and he hooks it to his foot. And we're all like, this isn't a good idea. Like, I even told him, I'm like, Jack, man.
He could use both arms.
Right.
Yeah. And
okay.
That's basically what he did. He held his leg out straight with the wrist rocket hooked to it, pulled it back as far as he could, which was right by his eye, basically. And just as he was about to let go, the wrist rocket just came flying off his foot. Nailed him in the head, and I swear it must have knocked him back like 6 inches flying out of the ground.
There's no time for defense. You're not thinking it's going to happen. You're just knocked out.
Yeah. Also,
he thought he was dead for like the first 20 seconds. He was out like a light.
He's got knocked the F out, man.
And no one went to help him. We all ran into the woods and ran away.
You didn't stand there and laugh?
Ran away.
Yeah, you want no part of that.
He's dead.
We all thought he was.
Man, he's dead. Same
here. He's dead. Grab the wrist rocket. That's funny.
That is great.
That's how we find things
out. And
the
next time you see him, his eye's all mangled.
They call him
Shiner. I still have him on my Facebook.
Nice.
It's like you look at his pictures and his one eye still faces straight up in the sky.
Did he get a nickname from this?
Yes, the cold lookout.
I don't know. I moved out of the neighborhood like 3 weeks later. So it was like I made friends with him again like 2 years ago on Facebook. But but I'm sure he got tons of nicknames. It was a tough neighborhood. We were
Ivan.
All rough on each other.
I'm just wondering as he's walking down the street, do folks like start looking up in the air?
What's he looking at? What's up there?
Everybody starts looking up at the sky.
Right.
Great story. Thank you, Ken.
That's awesome, man.
You're welcome, man. I hope you guys have an awesome day.
Thanks
so much. We're all laughing all day.
Thank you, man. Bill in Hamden.
Hey. So this is a little bit long. I apologize, but I was 12 years old. I'm down in Clearwater, Florida, visiting my relatives for the 4th of July weekend. And me and my cousin were out in the yard shooting chameleons off the trees. And we happened to be coming around the side of the house, and I noticed a cop in a car just cruising by two streets down through some bushes. I see the nose of the car sticking out. So I say to my cousin, hey, we got to get in the backyard. So we go in the backyard. I ditch the gun. We come back around the front. The cop's in the driveway. He's like, what's up, kids? I'm like, nothing. He goes, where's the gun? I go, what gun? he goes, "Don't mess with me, boy." He goes, "No, I saw you with the gun under the tree." So I said, "All right." And we go around the back of the house, and I show him where the rifle is. And he says, "What are you doing with this?" I said, "We're just shooting lizards off the trees." Yeah. He goes, "Well, what if you were a lizard?" I said, "Okay." He goes, "Anybody home?" "No, it's just us." He goes, "All right, put the gun away and don't make me have to come back here." "No problem, officer." So 4th of July is the next day. We have our picnic. We're standing by the railroad tracks. Train goes by. We don't have the gun. The next day, July 5th, there's a knock on the door at 8 o'clock in the morning. Cops, FBI, there's 6 squad cars out there.
Uh-oh.
"We want to talk to you." "Why?" "Okay. Somebody shot out a train window yesterday, and we think it was you." And I'm like, "You're kidding, right?" And he's like, "No. We had the description from the guy on the train, about 2 kids standing next to the railroad tracks, and you guys fit the description." I said, "Okay." So they take us. My cousin, who was 18 at the time, was the only one home, and he takes us in the squad cars, and they take us down to the police station. And they're, like, kind of trying to interrogate us. And my cousin comes up the staircase, and he goes, "You guys are in a lot of trouble." I said, "We didn't do nothing." Well, all of a sudden, I hear my mother at the bottom of the staircase.
Uh-oh.
"Where the hell are my kids?"
Oh, boy. Not good.
Turns out, when they took us out of the house, we didn't know. We were the only ones in the house. My 2-year-old sister was in the crib.
So now you're in trouble there, man. Too. It's a bad day all around.
And when she came back to my aunt's house from having breakfast with my dad at some place, the house was empty except for the 2-year-old in the crib.
Wow.
And she had a rifle.
Yo. So my mother's like, "What the hell is going on here? I'm going to have all your badges. You left a 2-year-old alone in the crib in a house.
That's not a good
Nobody
look.
There. You took my kids without permission." That was end of story. We were out of there in 10 minutes, and nothing ever happened again. They tried to extradite me down to Florida. It didn't happen. Over with.
Wow. Okay, but now you can tell us the truth. Did you shoot the windows out?
No.
Your friend
I did not.
Your friend did.
my cousin,
the baby.
My cousin shot that one.
The baby. Your mother came in like Godzilla.
Right.
Oh, it was.
Stomping on buildings,
over.
Eating power lines.
It was game over. She came marching up that staircase, and I was like, I was smiling. I'm like, "This is it.
This is it. You start getting your stuff."
Martin Nolan, Executive Director, Chief Financial Officer of Julian's Auctions, on the show now to tell us. You have Slash's hat, top hat?
Yes. So typical Slash. So you think of Michael Jackson, you think of him with the glove, right?
Yeah.
Well, Slash's thing was the top hat. So Guns N' Roses, 1985, he's walking on Melrose Street in Los Angeles. Very hip stores, all the rock stars would go there to shop. And he saw this top hat, 1985, decided, okay, he's going to wear that night he was performing. And he liked it, and he liked that look, and he's kept it ever since. And so this hat, signed by Slash, with, of course, his iconic doodling on it as well. It's just a great piece, and estimated 2,000 to 3,000. So not a crazy estimate.
No, it's cheap.
And I think and so iconic and so Slash. And Slash himself, we worked with Slash. We did an auction with him a few years ago. An incredibly nice guy. And wow, how talented is he? He's just incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that's going way higher than 2,000 to 3,000.
Well, you certainly would expect it. It's so iconic and the provenance is so solid. But keep in mind, this is a blockbuster. lackluster auction weekend. And good morning to you guys, by the way.
Morning. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one wants to hear us say good morning to each other. They want to hear about the stuff. You know what happens? You always have so much good stuff, and then we get sidetracked, and we don't cover it all. So you got Slash's
we
hat.
We don't have time for the pleasantries.
No, it's the stuff that you have is so cool here, like this Eddie Van Halen signed and staged played 2004 Charvel EHV Art Series 78 electric guitar.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so this is guitars that he actually partnered with Charvel. He actually designed them. So a lot of the design on the guitar was by he himself. He played it in Quebec at the Summer Festival 2008, July 3rd. He signed it. He dated it. He took a photograph of him signing it. He played it on stage that night. So incredible. Estimate 30,000 to 50,000. Now, keep in mind, a month ago, one of the guitars from one of his videos sold for almost $4
million. Wow.
That was the Hot for Teacher video, though.
Okay. Yeah, from 84. Yep.
That's a very iconic video.
Yeah, no, definitely an iconic video, but at the same time, I'm not sure if it was that particular video you mentioned, but it was one of his iconic videos. But again, that was amazing. But that just speaks to how collectible he is. Sadly, we lost him too young, but he was a genius. I mean, what an amazing guitar player. No question about that. But
he only played it that one time, though, Martin?
Yeah. Remember, this was a series of guitars he did, so he played that night, signed it, photographed it, wrote a letter of authenticity with it. So, you know, again, without question, the provenance is 100% solid. And that's important when you're coming to an auction like this because you're paying... It's not a signed CD for $100, right? You're buying something really iconic, so you want to make sure that it's authentic, that the provenance is solid, because in years to come, if you buy it this weekend, you'll turn around and sell it at some stage in the future, and it'll sell for a lot more if you make sure everything is in order, you keep it in good condition with all the documents, etc.
Let's just say you bid on something, because we're talking about the most fabulous stuff.
Right.
There's things on there you can get that are really, really cool, but affordable for regular people.
Exactly.
Let's just say you want it this weekend, how long before you can collect it?
Well, if you're in New York this weekend at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square, and you pay for your guitar, you can pick it up and walk away with it. So that's how quickly you can have it. So, which, of course, is amazing. I mean, if you pay big money for it, you just sort of want it as soon as possible. But, yeah, this, as I said, it's our annual Music Icons auction. It's over 1,200 items. So this is one of the biggest auctions we've done. It's a 3-day auction weekend because we have a whole day of Janet Jackson on Sunday. It's her birthday today, by the way, so happy birthday to Janet Jackson, who's performing in Atlantic City on Saturday.
Tell me you have that nipple ring that was in her boob for the Super Bowl halftime show, and I'll tell you, you're going to be a very rich man.
Yeah, $10 million for it.
Shirt, yes.
Yeah.
I'll ask Janet about that, and if you're willing to pay the $10 million, well, I'm sure we can talk.
That was Phil's bid. Yeah, right.
That was my estimate for what it would go for.
I don't want to miss this one for sure.
What do you have from Janet Jackson?
We have over 800 items from Janet Jackson, would you believe, all going off on Sunday. So it's jewelry, it's shoes, it's clothing, it's furnishings, it's roll cases. It's her iconic costumes from Metamorphosis and Rock With You and Discipline and Unbreakable and on and on and on.
Original parts of Michael Faze.
And a portion of the proceeds is benefiting Compassion International, which is a charity Janet supports, and it's an advocacy for children in need worldwide. So helping children that, you know, poor with education, whatever their needs are. So the money goes to a good cause, which people like when they come to the auction.
It's weird because I feel like, personally, I can have, let's say, an outfit that Janet Jackson wore in a video next to a pen that Michael Jackson used once.
Right.
And the pen is more amazing than the outfit she wore.
But he touched this.
Just because, the difference between Michael and Janet is like big time real estate difference.
The fandom, especially. Yeah.
What did he use a pen for?
Right.
Exactly right. Did he pen some famous
lyrics? But keep in mind, guys, what's sort of different here is Michael died in 2009, so there's a finite number of items out there. He's not performing anymore. He's not, you know, creating videos. He's not on stage wearing jackets, etc. So, yes, his value is higher than Janet, but Janet is still at work. She's on tour together again right now. So she's still wearing costumes. She's still signing. She's still, you know, working. So, obviously, there's more of her items out there. But in years to come, her items will appreciate as well. Because
right, so it's a good investment now is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Get it now.
It's like buying, you know, like buying a small cap stock today that becomes a blue chip in years to come.
Right.
Get in at the ground floor.
Martin,
buying opportunities, guys. Come on.
Martin Nolan's on, executive director, chief financial officer, Julian's Auctions. They're having a big one this weekend in New York City, which is not a long drive from here.
No.
Kurt Cobain smashed and band signed Nevermind era Fender Stratocaster. That's a big one.
Huge. And, of course, we hold the record for selling Kurt Cobain's guitar from MTV Unplugged for $6,010,000 back in 2020. This guitar, so iconic from the Nevermind era, as you said, $60,000 to $80,000 seems very cheap. Made in Japan, Fender, very heavy guitar, but it needed to be heavy and sturdy because, you know, when Kurt would go through his anger moments, he'd break it. It was repaired. Signed by all three members, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And also with different...
Oh, wait. So he didn't mean to... It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to go on stage and break a guitar and make sure I have a backup. He got mad and broke the guitar.
Right.
Then,
damn
like,
it!
Hey, I need that.
Right.
And then they put it back together.
Right. Oopsie.
They'd keep rebuilding it for him.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Typically, he would break guitars as part of his stick on stage. That was his showmanship. But it was never his good Fender guitars. He would always swap out to a
cheaper guitar. Yeah.
Smash it, and then he would take off the bridge and the strings, etc., off it, put it onto the next guitar, and a fan or whoever got the broken guitar could walk away with the pieces, which obviously have value as well, because anything from Kurt Cobain continues to appreciate in value. So highly collectible.
Where's this guitar starting?
So short as well. What's that?
Where does this guitar start?
So conservatively, like 60,000 to 80,000.
It's already 80 right now.
A long way from, and probably right now I haven't looked at what the prices are online because people are bidding online on julianslive.com right now, right up to the auction. And during the auction, they can bid online, even though it's a live auction at the Hard Rock Cafe where the auctioneer will be there. People bidding in the room, people bidding on the phone. And, of course, from the comfort of their own home, they can bid on their iPhone, laptop or computer and hopefully win some of these items. Again, 1,200 rock and roll plus 800 from Janet. Over 2,000 items going off this weekend. It's going to be certainly one for the record books. So hopefully you'll have me back on next week to do a recap.
I'd like to do that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's two more things real quick here. The Keith Moon Stardust Film Used Premiere Drum Kit.
That's a cool kit.
Yeah, that's so cool. So this is from 1960s. Premier Keith Moon, phenomenal drum player, one of the greatest. I'm friends with Ringo Starr, probably the greatest, you know, depends on who you talk to. But Keith Moon, certainly up there. This is from the movie Stardust. And again, estimated 100 to 200,000.
Wow.
David Essex actually was in that movie as well from the UK. But again, very iconic. Keith Moon made to look like the guitarist that Keith Moon played back in the 60s, of course, with The Who, and he was with another band at the time as well.
And the Michael Jackson and USA for Africa 1985 We Are the World MTV Best Group Video VMA. Pretty amazing that someone got a hold of that.
Yeah.
I have $4,000 here. That seems incredibly low, no?
Yeah, so obviously $2,000 to $4,000. Now, that was for the group awards, so there's probably quite a few of those given out for We Are the World, which was
not the only one.
Performance.
Like that's 90 of them.
Yeah.
If you look at the, you know, Aerosmith, it's 8 to 10, somewhere like that. Beastie Boys, MTV, is 8 to 10. This one is $2,000 to $3,000. It depends on how many are out there. But again, this is Michael Jackson, so we spoke about his collectibility and his value. Always makes sets records, so it'll probably sell significantly higher.
So that's not his statue. It's because he was involved in the group.
Yeah, no, it's actually his. So the group, they would have all got...
Four is ridiculously low.
That's a cheap one. Go for it.
I'd pay four for that.
All right, there you go.
Like, well, you know what? Throw your hat in the ring.
So if I wanted to go to this thing, do I have to buy tickets to get in, or you just go?
No, it's a Hard Rock Cafe that can bring in hundreds and thousands of people in there into Times Square. It's the bars are open, the restaurant is there, and you can just enjoy yourself. You don't have to register, you don't have to bid. You can just be in the cafe and be a part of it. It's fun. The auctioneers are fun.
That sounds
pretty
cool.
It's amazing to see people bidding for the items that they love and they cherish. Some will win, some will lose. There'll be happiness, there'll be sadness, but that's what an auction is. Buyers and sellers brought together by Julian's Auctions, Hard Rock Cafe in New York City. And let me ask you, tell you guys, yesterday we had a press call at the Hard Rock Cafe, and this gentleman who happened to be at an event there stopped me and said, "Are you the gentleman that talks on Chaz and AJ?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "When is my name going to be up on the board? Chaz and AJ and favorite guest Martin Nolan, or maybe rock star guest Martin Nolan." I can just picture the big lights there in Connecticut right now.
We'll make an award.
You are our favorite guest. Thank you, Martin.
Chair.
Yay.
Woo. Martin, thanks for coming out. We'll talk to you next week, and good luck this weekend. We're linked up to all these things, this super, super rock auction memorabilia happening over the weekend at the Hard Rock in New York City. Thank you, Martin.
My pleasure, as always. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. I love that guy.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He's a trip, man.
He had lots of coffee today.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. All right, we're linked up on the radio station website. Okay, let's get back to BB gun stories.
Yes.
Mike in North Brantford.
Hey, how are we guys doing?
Hello, hey. Hello.
Good.
Good, good. So high school, Jonathan Law, in the woods behind the track there. Me and my friend Gary went back there, and I had a 10-pump daisy that I just couldn't mess with, and I must have shot about a dozen birds.
Oh, no. And, yeah.
You're the guy!
Yeah.
No,
sorry. Yeah.
You just lost a friend in Ruth.
Yep, she's shaking her head. That's not good. That's not good.
This is very upsetting. The
I'm
lizards,
sorry.
The birds.
Really? He's like, can't shoot back. Go ahead.
And my friend Gary had a pellet gun, and he couldn't shoot anything. I mean, he was so pissed off. So he's like, you know what, Mike? He goes, if a bird landed right in front of me right now, he goes, I'd grab it and I'd shoot it. And the second he said, I'll shoot it, he pulled the trigger and he shot a pellet, one of those pointy ones, straight into his hand.
Whoops. That's what he said.
Yeah. I felt it.
Karma.
Yeah. Karma bomb. So I'm like, all right, well, this is a problem. Let's get back to the house. We go back to the house, and I'm looking at it, and you can literally see a lump on the other side of his hand. Like, it went in, it didn't come out.
Where it stopped.
And you can see where it stopped, right?
Yep.
And he's like, what are we gonna do? I said, don't worry, I got this. And
oh, no.
He's like, what are we doing? I said, I'll be right back. So I come down, you know, with the gauze and the alcohol and my X-Acto knife, and I'm like, we're going to get this thing out because we're worried about, you know, our parents.
Get in trouble, the gun's taken away, yep.
Yeah,
it all goes through your mind. I'm going to lose my guns. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, let's do this, right? So I'm getting all ready, and I get the blade right to his hand, and he looks at me and goes, maybe we should go to the hospital. I'm like, all right, it's up to you, right? So we go to the hospital, and, you know, they take care of it. His mom shows up, and the police show up, and we had to tell him what we were doing. We didn't, you know, we didn't lose the BB guns or anything like that, but we just got in a little bit of trouble. But yeah, we tell that story all the time, man. It was a good time, but
it was
a good time.
Not for the birds.
Not for the birds, well, not for your friend.
Yes.
But for you, great time.
Good times.
Yeah.
And what do you do for a living now?
Actually, I'm an engineer and I'm a firefighter.
See, nice. I would let you pull that pellet out.
Yeah, see? Yeah. He had pre-medical help.
Now.
Yes.
Now then I probably would have done the same.
Right, so spawned them.
Yeah. I really would have cut it and took it out. I really would have. I was actually looking forward to it.
Oh, boy. My first operation.
Mike in Southbury.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, crap.
Okay.
Phone's not cooperating.
Oh.
All right. Well, hang in there for a second.
Can you hear me now? I just want to say that.
Hold on.
Okay. On to what?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
All right. So when I was about 12 years old, I went to a friend's house, and he had the CO2 cartridge BB guns.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
those?
Love those.
Very powerful.
My friends had those. I did not. Awesome guns.
Yes. I had the cheesy Daisy one pump, could barely break a bottle version. and he had the really cool one. So I was looking at it, checking it out. I said, oh, I wonder how much, like, speaking of the, you know, the power, how much air comes out when you pull the trigger.
Oh,
now,
no.
As I remember it,
oh, no.
I did a dry shot, and nothing happened. So I put my right index finger over the end of the barrel, and bam.
It was
and
a pellet
started gushing blood. I'm holding on to it. And, of course, these three jerks are sitting there laughing their asses off. And I'm running around holding my finger. And so I figure, okay, what am I going to do? Number one is I can't tell Mom and Dad because
no.
If I do, they'll never let me get one of these guns.
Ever.
So I sat up all night with an ice cube wrapped around my finger in a paper towel, rocking back and forth, just waiting for the pain to stop.
That's a lot of pain.
Yes, it is.
It is a lot of pain.
Eventually it did.
Yep.
So, and then my mom's a nurse, and I said, well, how could I, articulate to her sort of what happened, but not really what I did? So I said, Mom, I think I got run over by the bike on the gravel, and I think a piece of the gravel got in my finger. She's like, there's no way that could happen.
Oh, boy.
I said, okay. So I just lived with it. So now at 56 years old, at a party or not, whatever, I can get a magnet. And I could put the magnet on the end of my finger.
And you could pull your... Yeah. Hello?
And the magnet just stays there. Or I could get, like, a flashlight and put my finger over the flashlight, and you could still see the BB in there.
Oh, wow. It's still in there, right.
40 years later.
Yours to keep. That's awesome.
That could be in the dumbass news. But...
Yep.
Yeah. You know, we know a firefighter familiar with these things. He might be able to help you remove that.
Yeah. Yeah, who's really into it.
Yes, he is.
He has his X-Acto knife out right
there.
Now and alcohol. Yeah, my brother shot me in the side, and I had the BB lodged in there for a while, and it used to be a party trick.
Oh, yeah?
I'd come over, and they put the magnet up against my side, and it would pull.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaky.
Until he took, not an X-Acto knife, but a...
Razor blade? Oh, a lighter?
No.
Switchblade. Sounds like...
A gun? What are you doing with your hands?
Stiletto.
It's a razor, but it's in the...
Box cutter?
Box cutter.
Thank you. Box cutter.
Wow. It's like playing charades.
That's the worst option. Yeah,
of course, they used the cigarette lighter to sterilize it, because this is,
I don't know that those get hot enough.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they cut it out. They opened it. And then they stuck the magnet in there to find it.
Oh, and it came out?
It came out.
Nice.
Honestly, that's a pretty smart way to do it.
It is, actually.
Instead of fishing around with their fingers.
Yep. My way would have been to put an air hose in you.
Does he take appointments? All right, thank you, Mike.
The Blue Cross. All right.
Joe at the Long Island Aquarium. Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I have three of my friends that I'm still in really great contact with, and we have a ton of BB gun stories, but I'd like to honor my dad's memory. Back in probably the late 30s, he and his best friend were plinking things around the neighborhood that they shouldn't have, and the cops got called. So the picture of my dad back in the 30s with the cops there, and my grandmother, all 4'11" of her from Italy, comes out. And... she's looking, so she smacks the two kids in the head, and then she tells the cops in broken English, because they went to take the gun. She's like, no, I take care of the gun. And she goes over to the telephone pole and smashes it to pieces in front of the two of them.
Yep. Ooh. That's what they did back then. And then the cops came a blackjack.
Yeah.
Cops in the 30s who did not mess with.
No.
Nope, ever.
Yeah. The cops knew that a little Italian woman would make sure everything was done right.
Yeah, I'll take care of that.
Judge, jury, and executioner right there.
Great story. Thank you, Joe. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, likewise. Oh, I got one more, if I could.
Okay.
me and my friends, we had the Crossman 760s.
Oh, the cool.
That you could pump up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we would have a competition who could take the most pumps getting shot in the butt. So you'd start off at one.
Jesus.
With the BB or just the air?
Where's the dumbass news
with
sounder?
The BB.
Everything here is stupid. It's an hour of stupidity.
All right.
It's an hour of stupidity.
All right, so what level did you get to?
Yeah. I don't remember what number we got to, but it was whoever could take the most pain. So it was like one pump, and that was first round, and then two bumps, and then three bumps. But that was just what kids, young boys do.
So
I
you're
guess.
Wearing jeans, but it's after you get to like do. 20 yeah. pumps, it's going through the pants.
It goes to the fabric, yeah.
Yeah, we never got that far, but yes, but yeah,
what the hell?
That's what boys do.
we didn't do that.
And what do you do at the Long Island Aquarium now?
I'm actually the curator and co-founder.
Excellent.
Yeah. I shoot dolphins.
Yeah.
Everything turned out all right.
Stay away from the glass.
You grew up smart.
Yes.
What do you got, Joe?
Hey, when I was in fifth grade, next-door neighbor had the BB gun and comes out waving it at all the kids, and everybody starts taking off. I run behind a tree, and I look around the tree, and I see the BB come right out of the gun, and it lodged in my eyelid.
And it was
in there for 4 days till I had it surgically removed out of my eyelid.
Oh my God!
And here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker.
What?
When I was in school, I had to go to school for 4 days with it in my eyelid. I charged kids 50 cents to touch the BB, and I made money off it.
Hey, baby, want to touch the BB? Yeah, BB eyes.
Want to touch it?
Want to touch my bump?
Right.
Oh, that's great.
See, how much money did you make?
$250.
Nice.
You are lucky. You still have an eye.
Hey, seriously.
Yeah, it was 1 centimeter down, and I was blind.
You'd be the one-eyed barber.
Yeah, yep.
Yes, you would. Mm. Same haircut, though.
I wouldn't be cutting hair.
Why? But you're gone.
Thank you, Joe.
You got it, guys. Have a good night.
You too, man.
Ace on the road.
Hey, guys. So I was down in Florida, and I was shooting some BB guns with my friends. We're aiming at cans in the backyard. Next thing you know, two cops walk in the backyard. And they're asking us if we have any weapons. We told them it's just a BB gun. They said that a neighbor reported gunshots, and they came to investigate. Next thing you know, they say, "What's that smell?" So,
I'm sorry. I'm scared.
I was nervous. Sorry. That means...
Being dumb kid, we say, "Oh, that's the stuff we bought at the gas station." And they say to us, "Well, 3 weeks ago, that was pronounced federally illegal. So who wants to go to jail for a felony today?"
Wait, what was the smell? Your phone clicked out.
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, we were smoking pot.
Oh.
That's not good.
Yeah. So long story short, they say, "Listen, you guys talk to each other, and we'll see who's going to jail today." And
oh, wow. It's like... let's make a deal. Who wants to go to jail today? Is it Jimmy? Is it Mike?
Who is it?
Or is it Ace on the road? Let's go with Ace.
Is it his phone?
Ace, who went?
So long story short,
too late.
Finally, please come back. And I tell them this.
Sounds like he's underwater now.
Damn it.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
All right. So I told
just tell me who went.
Yeah,
just tell me who went.
Who?
No one. They told me friends are.
All right, we got it. I'm sorry, man.
It's the detail we'll never get.
Ace, I'm sorry.
Yeah, your phone.
It's not your fault, brother.
Shoot your phone.
Fred in Fairfield has a pellet gun story. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, dude.
I was about maybe 10, 11 years old, and I was walking out of the house one Halloween, and my costume was like either a cop or a gangster or something, and it required a gun in my eyes. Well, my mom took my pellet gun and said, "You can't bring it." So that night, I'm walking around collecting my candy, doing my shit, whatever else.
Doing your stuff, right?
Yeah, doing my stuff. And next thing I know, me and my buddy are walking around collecting our candy. And this guy in a mask comes out of nowhere, and he's like, "Give me your candy." And he freaking takes our candy and he pushes it on the ground. We tried taking our candy back, and he shoots me 6 times with a pellet gun in the chest.
Is your mom?
later on that night, I get home and I see my candy bag on the floor. I found out it was my brother who literally robbed me and my best friend, shot me, and took our candy.
Oh my God!
The hell's going on in this story?
The problem with that for your brother is he's gonna have to at some point close his eyes and go to sleep while you're still in the house,
right?
Oh, yeah, there were plenty of times.
Exactly. Nice. Right.
Yep. Yeah,
dude, not a good plan.
Right. Your family is terrifying.
Right. This is for the, this is for the Snickers. The Milky Way bar.
What the hell's going on in your family?
It's like, I could shoot this kid.
The same brother lit an entire pack of firecrackers and put them under my pillow.
Boy, you guys have an odd relationship.
Yeah, what is it?
Did you, you're Fred in Fairfield now, but did you live in Fairfield then?
No, I lived in Ansonia.
Okay, makes
that
more
makes sense.
All
right. Yeah.
No Fred question, Ron.
Were you guys from the valley, I can say that.
What, yes.
Where were your parents while you were lighting each other on fire?
They were in prison.
They're at the bar.
They were
robbing kids.
My parents, at that time, my parents were separated, and it was my mother watching like five kids.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right. Well, God bless her.
Yes.
There was two she wasn't watching.
Yep.
And they have the best stories, by
yes,
the way.
They do.
So, all right, Fred. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Rick in Fairfield.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My best friend in junior high, I thought they were wealthy. They had this property up in Massachusetts. Their cousins owned half this lake, and they had mini bikes.
Ooh.
So we thought it'd be a fun thing to do, put one guy in an army jacket and a helmet and chase him down with a Honda 70 while he's on a Rupp mini bike shooting at him. Running down the woods.
That's fun. I'd sign up for that right now. That's fun.
This is terrifying.
That's awesome.
It hurt like hell when it went over the collar and hit you in the back of the neck.
Yeah. You're getting shot.
That meant ride faster.
This is like Wild West stuff.
Yep.
Rupp mini bikes were awesome.
What is going on?
And they're in a Honda 70, an AT7. So like, yeah, the three wheel. So it's almost like, yeah, that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
It's like a three wheel tank. That's cool.
Oh, man. I want both of those bikes.
I'm happy I just played basketball. I never got shot.
You're that good a player, huh?
Yeah.
Plenty of shooting, only baskets.
That's it.
That is great.
That if we weren't shooting at somebody in the outhouse.
Oh no!
It's funny because it makes a noise,
right? And that person's gonna crap anyway. So,
we had a whole neighborhood of kids with BB guns, and one day, one of our crew was at his family's picnic, and they had a shed in the back with an old window. The window was gone, but you could see through the window of the shed.
Okay.
Anyway, the whole family's out in the yard, and we're like, "Hey." Louis in the backyard. Louis Guerrero.
Okay.
Still listens.
I've heard that name before. Yeah.
He could verify this. He's in the backyard with his cousins. They're Ecuadorian. There's like a million of them.
Right.
But we could see Louis. So we get a position on a rooftop.
Oh, no. You sniped.
About three houses away. And we just would shoot him and just see if he noticed, you know? And at first he was like rubbing it like.
What the hell
like
is
he,
that?
Like he thought he got stung by a bee.
Right. Yeah, it feels like that.
You wouldn't think your friends are picking you off.
Right. It didn't come. You're right. He didn't think, my friends are probably shooting me.
Yeah,
it was like I got stung by a bee.
Yeah, one guy's doing coordinates.
There's three of us on the roof, and we're laying on the roof like we're snipers.
Right. Thinking you're cool.
Now we're like, hey, let's just shoot them all. And we just start shooting all the kids
in
the backyard. They run into the shed.
Billion bees and spiders.
They get behind this porcelain table.
Oh, no.
It was the greatest feeling ever because we're shooting at the table,
right.
And you hear the sound. Ping!
Right.
And you could see a big, giant hole from the porcelain.
Yes.
Just. So we felt like we were firing high-powered rifles, and these kids are like, they're hiding behind the table,
yeah,
laughing their asses
scared.
Off.
Right.
Nah, they weren't scared. They were having a good time.
Right.
They were having fun.
Right. The greatest feeling ever.
This is still
it was the greatest feeling. We had them pinned down. They weren't coming out.
Being in Ecuador all over again.
To this day, someone drops a porcelain mug. They're like, that again!
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.